Welcome, everybody. You know, we love new music here on Big Blend Radio, and we're excited to have Michael Kessler joining us. He's a guitarist and a musician, and his new album, Gravel Road, is out now. Shout out to Gary Tannen, who always connects us with great, great musicians. Gary is a producer and a musician and an engineer, too, and he worked on this album. So, welcome, Michael. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, doing good. It's a sunny day here in Georgia where we are currently. We travel full time, and I think we've been in your state. You're in Wisconsin, right?
Yeah, southeastern Wisconsin, just south of Milwaukee.
Ah, we haven't been there yet. We've done a lot of Madison. In fact, we'll be back up there in over Memorial Day weekend. We'll be back up in Madison area.
Oh, sure.
But you guys have good music, and Gary always just blows my mind. He's always like, "Here's another, Wisconsin, Milwaukee musician." And I'm like, "What is going on up there?" But then, having, been there a few times and stayed up there, there's something special about your state. I think Wisconsin is pretty darn cool. I know you get really crazy winters, which I've done and been through and shoveled and all of that, but you have good food and people that are just so down to earth and friendly. What's going on? You guys are friendly.
Well,
What's
I think
happened?
it's a Midwestern thing, you know. Now,
Hmm.
don't get me wrong, you could walk around the block and meet a complete jerk. but as far as Wisconsin goes, there's a huge bluegrass scene in Wisconsin, and it's kind of centraled around the Wausau, Stevens Point area. That's where you had horseshoes and hand grenades come out of.
Okay.
They are they're a really good bluegrass band. They just blew up. I couldn't tell you. You know, it's just we probably in a summer we'll good 12 or 13 bluegrass festivals per year. So I mean,
Wow,
and
that's
the
amazing.
yeah the music has been blowing up, but it's getting more and more popular as the years go on.
And then the bluegrass now, I was reading it's now like new grass because like even your album Gravel Road, and I love the name. I love because I like gravel roads too. I mean, that's what we do as we travel. We go to parks and public lands. We need a little, we need some grit. And I love your album because it definitely has bluegrass and you have some very traditional parts, and then it goes like, no, now we're going to go over here. And there's songs, on there that just, I was like, oh, I didn't expect this. One of them, I really just going through the entire album, Morning Dew was one that I just went, whoa. Cherokee Shuffle is another one. I just didn't expect that to be on there, and I think also bluegrass people start to think is always Kentucky, Tennessee, the Carolina, North Carolina. And so this is really fascinating to me. It's cool what's going on your album. But even Cherokee Shuffle, I think people would think would be more northern, I mean southern than you, or
I don't know exactly where that song came from, but the thing about that song and Roanoke and Ashcan Farewell, obviously I want people to be happy when they listen to my music, and I try to just keep it up pace, and just music that like Ashcan Farewell. That's like warm, heartwarming music. And Cherokee Shuffle is always a song that I just absolutely loved, and I knew I had to cover that song. And Roanoke, when you listen to Bill Monroe do Roanoke, you can there's some videos on YouTube. It's just the happiest music, and it just makes
Yeah,
sorry, my alarm.
your alarm went off. It's okay. Well, wait a minute. I know that you work in a clock shop, right? So don't tell me someone's robbing and stealing your clocks.
No,
Right.
no.
Okay. I'm just kidding. No. Hey, is that true that you're like a clock person? What's the word for that again? The term.
Horologist.
Wow.
Spelled
Okay.
with an H.
Yeah, you had to say that correctly. And we're talking about clocks, everybody with an L, as we talk about all of right. this. We've got to be very clear.
You got to really pronounce the L for sure.
Yeah. And then, I mean, just even the term, I mean, we have to be very clear that it's horologist with an H. Yeah. This is going really well.
You know, I've almost given up on, I've caught so much grief over the years for that. I just say I'm a clock. I fix clocks. Clock repairman.
Yeah, but that's interesting because it's now like it's, you know, when you think of, well, I kind of, what was interesting to me is because when I was listening to your music and then I saw, oh, you're into horology. How about that? then I was right. like, well, this is, it kind of ties together because it's very Americana. All of it, you know, even though it's a blend of music, it's Americana. And I thought, well, this is going there with clocks because clocks, I mean, when the history of clocks is so fascinating, you know, you've got the ones like the grandfather clock and how the moon goes. And it is like part of harvest time. And there's like the farmer's almanac is in the clock, right? You know, so I was thinking about that today with your album and everything. I was like, you know, this is kind of, it's, this could almost be an album of farm music because it's got all these different level of sounds of going through the ups and the downs and the like what ifs, yeah. you know? Does that make any kind of sense of what I've just said about clocks and music? Yeah.
Absolutely. In Wisconsin, there's a big, at night, we like to, after we eat, we like to have bonfires and usually, you know, this kind of music is played not only country but you know toe tapping type stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, so it's you know, we like our campfires, we like to get together and it's definitely music that you would hear on a farm for sure.
Well, but the clock thing too is Americana, which ties into the music, right? And I look at it like it's so cool that there's the newgrass, right? Or bluegrass, newgrass. Because that torch is being carried through. Clocks is the kind of that same thing. I'm like, with all this digital stuff now, now it's become like, are you working mostly now on antiques or people making new clocks? Or has it now become like an antique thing? And yet we could do a new spin on it, just kind of like with the music. What's happening with, I didn't bring you on the show to talk about clocks, but I think it's relevant, you know?
It is. And it's kind of scary because all the old timers are retiring or dying off. And I'm really the only clock shop within 30 miles, I think. We used to be in Kenosha. We had a store in Kenosha and that was always kind of our territory. But then we moved to Zion, Illinois. After that, we moved back to Kenosha. So I always lived in the Burlington area. But man, even back then, back 15 years ago, there wasn't much competition. And now it's always been a destination business now more than ever, you know?
Wow. Wow. And so this is a family business, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I apprenticed with my dad and, it's time for me to go on my own. I did. And, I wanted to stay in Burlington and it's been awesome.
It's
a really good skill to have because there's always going to be a market for grandfather clock service calls, you know? That's why I make a good percentage of my money from grandfather clock service calls. And you need a guy to go out to the home and do those. And there's just nobody doing that.
Does it tie connect you with your guitar too? Because you have to understand the wood and the technology that goes behind to make things actually tick. Like even your guitar, the strings and all of that and that general care that, you know, has to happen. Like, you know, you've got to, you know, polish the wood. You've got to take care of, you know, all of that to care. Well, you've got to care for your guitar just the same way, right?
Yeah. Two things that guitar and clocks have in common is you don't really know who invented them. You know, it's just always we've learned how to do it over time. And we don't give our ancestors enough credit. We were really smart back in the day. And whoever was smart enough to create the guitar, And it just, I mean, you have to be a mathematical genius, probably for both, especially if you're building clocks. So it's, there's definitely an Americana Rust Belt connection between both music, you know, guitar and clocks. It's just, it's amazing. I did a clock one time that was from 400 AD. And it was a very simple clock. It only had a hour hand, because back then they only had hour hands. They didn't have the minute hands yet. And it was just amazing to go through this thing. And it was a real simple movement. But even in this like simple, like a three gear mechanism, just that we were able to figure that out, you know, how big to make the gears, to regulate time so you can be within the ballpark, you know, it's extremely fascinating.
So tell me a little bit about, because that is fascinating to me. I mean, all of that is just like how it's part of civilization. Clocks are part of civilization, and we've changed calendars and times, and we've changed, and then let's, you know, turn the clock back and all of that, right? So it's such an integral part of our lives. Music is too. So going to your music, what got you started, and you know, what led you to pick up the guitar?
Honestly, it was Green Day. I was a huge Green Day nerd when I was 11, and I got a guitar, and I just would kind of play over the music, and that's kind of how I learned how to solo, and then eventually I learned the basic chords, and then when I got real serious into learning chords it was during my discovery of the Grateful Dead phase, and how I would do I would learn chords by what song I want to play next. So I'd go and print out some tabs and then, oh, that needs a E sharp 7 or, oh, this, you know, and that's how I would learn chords, is by that. So, and then, you know, it's just, you know, some people have a passion for it and some people could care less. You know, it's a good coping mechanism with life in general.
We all have to have music and to be able to take action and perform it and play it. I know you tell us a little bit about, you know, getting started, you start learning and playing, and then you had a band, American Folk.
Yeah. Back in fall of 2006, I got together with a guy. I was going to school for radio broadcasting. He was going for horticulture, and I met him. His name is Adam Lance. And we had a, you know, likeness of types of music that we like to do and like to listen to. And then it was just basically, I found a mandolin player. I was like, oh, cool. And that was basically it. And then, you know, it was just the three of us for a while. And then we grew to a five piece. We added a banjo player and a fiddle player.
Nice. And the fiddle player,
Jim Moses on the banjo.
Okay. Sorry. You cut out there. Okay. Say that again. Yeah. Say that again. Cut out for a second. So you had a fiddle player.
Yeah. We had a fiddle player named Sean Drake, and we had a banjo player. His name was Jim Moses. I'm sorry. I'm turning my alarm off now.
Don't steal the clocks in the clock shop. No, you'll get clocked in the head.
I always set my alarm for things that I'm got going on later in the day. So kind of old fogey like that. So it grew to a six piece. We had two guitars, a bass, fiddle, mando, and a banjo. And we started doing, bluegrass festivals all over Wisconsin, Swamp and Grass. There's Ladies of Bluegrass Festival. There's Bluegrass in the Pines. There's one going on this weekend, which is, I think it's called Bluegrass Bourbon and Brews. And there's a lot of really good headliners going there. And so we used to play as many festivals as we could, and we kind of, you know, got to a certain point, you know, as far as having six guys do the same thing for 9 years, we were eventually going to part ways, you know, so it's basically, that's basically what happened. But we had a good 9 year run, you know, and you learn a lot from those experiences. You kind of get over stage fright. Become more sociable as you age. And,
Wild. Stage fright is weird. Like when I used to have a band years ago in San Diego, and, you know, I'm definitely a loudmouth person, as people know me, but I'm also completely introverted and will geek out on weird stuff, like clocks, right? Stuff like that. But, you know, but to be a lead singer in a rock blues band, very blues based, and I know you love blues too, and getting up there, the worst thing, and you wouldn't believe it now, but the worst thing for me was to have to speak to the audience. I'd look at them and go, what the hell am I supposed to say? Like, hello? And what? And this is the song. It was horrible. Like, even at that time we were starting our magazine, I had to go and speak in all these business groups and all of that stuff, which I'd sit there and like the sweaty palms was like, not even, that's an understatement. It's like, I could not do it, but it's weird, isn't it? Like, and then all of a sudden one day you're fine and you cross that threshold. And if you don't have any butterflies, then I feel like you're completely tuned out. I don't know. That's just for me. I think you should, there's that excitement. It's not necessarily the public speaking fear. It turns over to be more of that excitement, you know, and you learn to trust yourself when you get out there. And like, because everything can go wrong when you go live on stage. Everything. It's like when we did live broadcasts. You did radio broadcasting. You studied that. Mm-hmm. Anything can happen at any time. And when you think you've done it all and been through everything, guess what? Here's a new thing. It's like the extra bonus round on a game. You know, it's the same thing. Yeah. It's going to take you out. You know, learn.
Doing like remotes, I can imagine it's like you're just one bad chord away from whole thing shutting down.
Oh yeah, we've done live radio shows across the country, like just on podcasting style before it was called podcasting, and we've done things in haunted houses and bed and breakfasts, and voices came through, weird stuff like internet going out, everything going out, people talking, not getting off. It's weird stuff has happened, all kinds of weird stuff, but it's
the only
cool.
The only way to get over stage fright is just keep on doing it, and eventually you'll be fine. Once you learn a few jokes, you know, like my joke was like right after sound check, I'd be like, all right, thank you, good night. Or
We need to do dad jokes. Everybody likes dad jokes. I have to be careful because with jokes, anything really bad can come out of my mouth. So I have to be careful. It's very difficult to, like, I'll think I'm going to say this and completely the most off color thing will come out. It just happens. It's okay though. You know, it's all good. It's all good. I did that as a kid, you know, but this album, you pulled in some great musicians. What led you to say, okay, you know, the band is now done. I'm going to go and record an album now. And so, you know, we all went through the pandemic thing too, right? So that kind of did some weird stuff and good stuff too. So much good music came out of it. You know, I'm not making light of people dying and everything during the pandemic,
I understand. I totally understand. Cause I was playing more when I was during the pandemic, you know, I think a lot of people were playing more by themselves and just getting good, getting better. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this album, putting this together, tell us the process. I mean, did you have specific songs you wanted to play and just said, okay, I'm going to like what said, okay. And it's going to be Gravel Road. What was that?
Yeah. Well, it was funny. Like I went into the whole thing thinking, oh yeah, you know, I'll be done in a couple weeks and I realized that, the thing about my voice is that I'm not a great singer. So I had to scrap like half the songs I was going to do for the album. you know, I'm sure all singers are like that. You're just not happy with your voice. Mm-hmm. So that's when I decided to, I had a few, you know, bluegrass songs recorded, and then I decided to go kind of different way with electric guitar and kind of mixing blues with the country and the bluegrass. It was quite a process. It was about an 8-month project, and it was just I went into it thinking one thing, and I went out like totally in a whole new direction, you know. And that whole process, I learned so much from Gary, and I mean, you learn a lot about yourself, like what sounds good, what doesn't sound good, when especially if you do a solo thing. But when it's just you, it's like sometimes it's like, whoa, man, what if? I've had my moments of doubt during the album, you know, as I'm sure we all do. But there was all the stuff that Gary did behind the scenes, and just, you know, I wouldn't have had much exposure if it wasn't for him, I don't think.
No, he's awesome. I mean, he's a veteran in this. He really is. I mean, we've done so many interviews of, you know, musicians he's worked with, and some of them are my favorites. It's like, wow, okay. And that's why I was like, what is going on up there? And then we got up there finally. We've always talked about it. We never got there, but we did. And I'm like, this area is beautiful, and there is something about it. And I think you guys have these such insane wet winter and springs, even. Like, whenever the snow comes, there's this magical joy. Then it's like, okay, you're going to have to dig in deep. And I think there's something to that, that to get through that kind of winter. But in your summers and your springs, and I mean, come on. Have to go through one winter, which has its own magical beauty, and it's awesome. And then it's like, eventually, though, you have to embrace it, you know? You have to embrace, get out there, and then still dig deep, because it sometimes never ends. I'm just saying, our first Wisconsin thing, we went through 3 snowstorms back to back, and we weren't supposed to, apparently, when we were there. And then that's not true.
Right.
That didn't happen. Yeah. But it's beautiful. So do you think that the environment, the atmosphere, the weather, the way of life invokes good music? Like, gets you to, like, you're going to have to do something to get through it. Eat cheese curds. Yeah. You guys have cheese curd aisles in your stores.
Oh, they're so good. Deep fried. If you haven't tried one in a bar, I highly suggest the cheese curds. They're like mozzarella sticks, but not so garlicky.
Oh, cheese curds are good. I mean, it's a good thing, and you have a good brewery scene, music scene. I think that there's just this quality of life that spurs up good music, and music is like part of it, right? Would you say that that is part of Wisconsin life?
Absolutely. Top five, you know, I don't know where are probably Packers are number 4. I mean, you know, like you were saying, like when winter comes and we're all cooped up, that's why there's so many musicians around here, you know?
Yeah.
All cooped up for 6 months.
Yeah, you were saying there's a good music scene, but I'm like, there's good festivals, but like for gigs, is it good for gigs too?
Oh yeah. Yeah. If you're well established, you could easily get $1,000 a show in the right places.
That's sweet.
There's high demand for, I mean, there's so many bars in Wisconsin, you know, so there's pretty high demand for live music.
That's nice. I think that's why we like Wisconsin too, is bars and music. Why not? Nope. But the other thing too is the folks that you have on this album, like, where are they all from Wisconsin too? You've got like Georgia Ray on fiddle. You've got Ernest. I'm not pronouncing his last name. I'm not doing that. He's also on fiddle. You do it. I want to hear it.
Oh, I've been calling him Ernest B.
Ernest B. Okay. So anyway, it's Bruce Bardis.
Oh, okay.
My attempt. Was that good? Like, that's my attempt. And then Joe Vent on bass. So are these musicians you know locally, or Gary knew them, or
a little
they're
bit of
good?
Both. Yeah. Yeah, I think they're all from Wisconsin. Georgia Ray, I knew from doing other shows. She grew up doing the Georgia Ray Family Band. And so she was from a young age. She's been doing this. So she's kind of Burlington's sweetheart right now. Everyone loves her, you know, and she's so professional. And I just said, look, Georgia, here's the tracks, and I trust you. I know, you know, you don't need much direction from me at all. And a couple of weeks later, it was done, and it was just so good. She's a true professional. Ernest, I never met Ernest, but Chicken Wire Empire is a really good band. I downloaded a couple of their albums recently. To my surprise, one of my songs was on one of their albums, Ain't Going Nowhere.
Oh.
Yeah,
cool.
I thought that was interesting. A lot of these, where I think a lot of the roots of the music scene, especially around here, has to do with Bob Dylan, the band.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone loves The Last Waltz, still probably one of the greatest rock and roll movies of all time. And they were just so well respected. And there's so much, like the Bob Dylan and the band Basement Tape albums and mm-hmm. the bootleg series.
Oh, yeah.
There is so much
yummy
to discover out there. And that's how I kind of, a couple of the songs I did was more of not the actual studio album, like, but the version I heard of You Ain't Going Nowhere, I think it was on the Basement Tapes. That's just really, really, I wanted to kind of keep it more towards, you know, the Bob Dylan, the band, because I mean, you know, it's just the kind of music that just makes me mm-hmm. happy.
Eskimo. Come on. That's cool on there. You got that on there. And then, can we talk about Fake Plastic Trees?
Sure.
That is cool.
Yeah.
I like that. That is cool.
Yeah. I heard a version done by Trampled by Turtles, and it really moved me. And I decided I was going to try it, at least try it. A lot of these songs, we probably had 18 or 19 songs, but we cut it down to 11. So we thought, like, we'd try it at least. And definitely, it's a Radiohead song. I'm not too big into Radiohead, but I love that song. And
cool.
Something I wanted to, I could, in my head, I could hear a really nice fiddle solo. And it turned out good.
It did. It did. And the other thing, too, is Ain't No More Cane on the Brazos. I mean, that, tell us about that, like your decision for that, because that's also one of my favorites. I like the whole album. Everyone just listen to the whole thing. Okay. I'm picking songs out, but they're like my favorites. And, you know, that's my personal thing, right?
Yeah. That's what I kind of mean. Obviously it was inspired by the band and Bob Dylan. There's a few versions of the band playing it live, and it's just the way they play. It's just such a good song. I was going to try to sing that song, but I decided not to and just keep it an instrumental. And I definitely kept it more towards the band's version. And that's what I mean. Like, it's a good three songs are directly attributed to Bob Dylan and the band.
And he wasn't far away from you up in Minneapolis, right? I know he's in Minnesota, but I don't know if he was in Minneapolis. Yeah, where he was born, and he comes from up that way.
Yeah, I think he was born in St. Cloud. I'm not sure how far away it's from Minneapolis, but yeah, I'd like to go to that city. I want to really see that Bob Dylan Museum.
Oh, man, well, there's a Bob Dylan Museum in Oklahoma.
Oh, okay. Nice. So
there's one that just opened there, and we have a whole article on it on our site, our Blend Radio and TV.com site. But I want to go because, you know, I'm a huge, huge, huge Dylan fan. I mean, who isn't, right? There's some people who don't like the original his voice in the early years, right? But I mean, remember when he went electric, everybody, and everybody got freaked out.
Yeah.
God, it's like, what? But he, you know, he's also an incredible artist. And the, okay, it's the Bob Dylan Center. I'm just looking it up. I visit the Bob Dylan Center is in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And that's, I want to go to one of our travel writers, Debbie Stone, went there and wrote an article about it. But it's like, you know, that's just, I want to go because I want to see his art too, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have, yeah. I search his art online a lot. And a lot of times I make these little music videos. It's like iMovie where you just stick in a picture and then 5 seconds later do another one. A lot of my, the videos I made were a lot of his art. And also, you know, that part of Bob Dylan history, that's to me, that's the most fascinating part of this. When he tried to go, well, when he did go electric, and when he first did, it wasn't very pretty. Not the music, it was the crowds, obviously. But it seemed like he knew he was onto something. He knew that they would come around. And it's so interesting. After the band, well, I think Bob Dylan found another band once, and that, you know, that birthed the band, and that, you know, just inspired, just that band alone, the band has inspired millions, and on top of Bob Dylan and everything. And it's such a, so it's so interesting because people were literally paying top dollar money just so they could throw cabbage at him.
It's, you know, insane. It's insane just because they made a change. You know, he's like, hey, I'm progressing. It's so, people hate change. They're scared of it. I mean, it's like, I wonder that with you being, you know, in bluegrass, right? And then you go, hey, I'm going to add this and I'm going to add this and I'm going to do it this way. Change it. I'm bending the rules here and I'm allowed to. It's my album. I can do it this way. And it all flows perfectly. So it's like this great album. How do people respond? Like, now we're going to change bluegrass up this way. I mean, I've, you know, in Louisiana, I've watched Zydeco bands and Cajun bands like do traditional. And then all of a sudden they've got rap in there and they're doing, I mean, there's even blues has got some of that stuff going on. And I'm like, hey, the younger generation comes in and says, hey, we're going to shift it up into what we do. And I'm like, you're carrying the torch still. There is this, sure. It's going to progress. It can't be the same. I mean, that's the beauty of music is that it's movement and change, but people really have a hard time with change. So have you seen that in bluegrass, or are people pretty accepting?
I haven't really heard any sticklers about it. I know a lot of people want it to be traditional and certain way. But I mean, I'm right off the bat. I have drums on a lot of my tracks. So, you know, obviously, it's a bit different, and I don't, you know, I love the playing electric guitar too. I especially don't just want to be a straight acoustic guy, you know, and I wouldn't want to have to be something that I'm not too kosher on.
Yeah. Right. So now performance is coming, and everyone, you can go get the album. It's streaming everywhere, like Amazon, Spotify, all those places. So you can get Gravel Road, again, Michael Kessler. And now you're going to tour?
Oh, no.
Some gigs?
Yeah, no touring. I am trying to book some shows right now.
More local, because he's got clocks to fix. Hey, since you did radio broadcasting, do you fix radios too? Because they kind of have a history together, don't they? Clock radios and stuff. They do have a history.
Yeah, sometimes I'll get a clock radio in, and I tell them, no, I can't do that. I'm sorry.
Oh my God! So check this out. This is so funny. I mean, this conversation is, we've done a whole gamut here. But it is Americana. You have to have the clocks. That's how farmers knew about when to grow things, and you know, all of that. I love those with the thing that turns around. I don't know all the terms, but the twirly whirlies, and like the moon comes through and stars, and then you'll see like wheat and stuff. You know.
Oh, so where they play melodies at the top of the hour.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, it's all connected. You know,
Yep.
I'm just
Right.
saying, it's all good. It's all good. But yeah, so are you gonna play locally in Wisconsin?
Yeah, playing around the Kenosha, Racine, Northern Illinois circuit. I could, I'm sh there's if I want to I want to get a band together before I actually actively start looking for shows. But I have a couple of private things booked for the summer yet. So,
Cool.
still I'm just looking for those studs, the fiddle player and the banjo player.
You've got to be careful how you say that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I just thought of that as soon as I said
I know, but we started off well, so that was the perfect closing.
it.
It's a happy ending, everybody. All right, so we did good today. We did good. All right, so everyone, again, keep up with Michael Kessler. I think you're on Facebook, right? But also Spotify, iHeart, all those places that you can stream music. You can get Gravel Road there. So thank you, Michael, for such a fun show, a fun
Yeah.
conversation.
Well, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, this is fun.
Working on a building. I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building. Oh, my Lord.